American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Wednesday, July 13th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel. Your daily report is the war counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny, and we are winning that war. You better believe it. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening, you are too, and you may be violating any and all listener license agreements you may have in your place of work. If, in fact, you are listening to me at work, make sure you do it with headphones on, because I say a lot of bad words like freedom and, you know, freedom and stuff. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa. You yourself now, just like those radio stations, are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You can rebroadcast it, you can hand it out to people, and please do, because the strength of the entire rant movement is based upon people communicating openly and freely and sharing information amongst themselves. And what better way to share information than to tell everyone that, well, you like Newsreel, and it helps us out too, so it spreads the virus and gets it around to a whole bunch of new listeners, which is, of course, our eventual goal of total world domination. So let's get into some feedback. I only got one piece of feedback today. We got Dear Sean, in response to your comment on the internet being shut down. Now, this was something that Loft Heavy Industries said in front of the, there's a bunch of judges, I think, I don't want to call it the grand congressional hearing or whatever, or Supreme Court or whatever it was, but apparently Loft Heavy Industries got in front of a judge, and there's a really famous film clip of them saying, you know, well, we could shut it down in half an hour, and this is in response to that. It's not going to happen. Why? Because it's so large? No. Because everyone uses email? No. Because there's a lot of money tied up in it? No. Because it's too useful as a monitoring tool. Ah. They aren't going to shut down the internet. They're going to take control of the internet. Remember a few years back, they tried to replace the traditional computers with these internet appliance things? They flopped hard. I foresee them making a comeback soon. Right now, the net is being pumped full of spyware, malware, viruses, etc. And there's a big deal being made about it. Could companies make spyware that didn't slow down your machine and bombard you with pop-ups? Sure could, but then the consumer wouldn't be as pissed off about it. See, they're creating a problem so that they can later introduce a solution by handing out these crippled PCs that only run an office suite, internet browser, and email client. If they could get everyone to switch to one of those, then a lot of their problems would go away. No more pesky open source software. No more file swapping. Would a crippled machine that only ran programs from a burned in a ROM chip be more secure? Yes, in the fact that you did get a virus or something, just turn it off and back on again. And then you're locked into their software and their software only. Think that's just paranoid? Remember, the link I sent you a while back about the trusted computing platform, wouldn't that be the first step towards this? Sorry for the long email, but the idea that the plan is too crippling the internet won't get out of my head, or the plan is to cripple the internet won't get out of my head, so I had to write it out. No, and that's from Melchizedek. And I think Melchizedek is right on the money. For the record, I'm totally going to throw in with Melchizedek on this one. You betcha. And we're gradually seeing that come on with the, you know, more phone friendly. No, we're not crippling our websites. We're making them phone friendly and so on and so forth. Well, I've got more on that later in the show today, so you just wait out. But absolutely, I think that is something we need to be on guard for. Don't let yourself get so lazy with your tech knowledge that you'll just accept whatever, you know, they throw out at you. You got to swallow it downrange, you know. Not such a good thing. And our first news story is yet another, you know, every now and again, I get to see me some, you know, real good cyberpunk stuff. But But, you know, when I'm finding it on the manuals, you know, it's like, you know, when you don't know whether or not you're reading the news or a role-playing source book. I have no idea. I should ask Scribe about this one. I'm sure he can probably get me the updated version. Check this out. We got a Wi-Fi Watchdog 5.0. Now, this is a new type of, well, I don't know if it's a new type of software, but I haven't heard about software that's done this. This isn't meant to be an ad for this software. This is just, I haven't seen a piece of software that does this before. So it seems like a new type of software, perhaps. Nothing that, noting that security is becoming an urgent necessity in a wireless, as wireless networks proliferate throughout enterprise. Now, you know, this is the, you know, that's a bad way to start. When you can't get the first sentence out, Newbury Networks said it is addressing the need for its Wi-Fi Watchdog 5.0, which can precisely locate and block unauthorized users trying to enter networks. Now, let's get through this here. In announcing the latest version of its enterprise software security product Monday, Newbury said it believes it is the first company to use, quote, precise location technology to deliver intrusion prevention, rogue containment, client protection, and intrusion detection with a full set of location-specific security alerts, security-related compliance reports, enhanced graphical views for its IT security personnel to identify and pinpoint security threats. Now, what does that mean? That means that if you log on to the wireless network, these guys can actually tell where you are in the real world. In an interview, Newbury Networks director and product manager Brian Wangering said Wi-Fi wireless networks are growing so rapidly that many organizations institute a no Wi-Fi policy because they can't control security on a wireless network. I guess encryption doesn't work then. Many companies are ready to deploy Wi-Fi, he said. All access points can be all over the place, so start with some no Wi-Fi, but then gradually build out. He added that Wi-Fi Watchdog 5.0 enables IT managers to gradually build out their wireless networks. A network of sensors constantly monitors all access points on the network, establishing RF fingerprinting and RF pattern matching solutions. Each physical location has a different pattern, and network operators are able to track them very accurately. Well, I think what this is, this sounds like from this article that they're able to, you know, actually tell where you are on the ground, you know, like if you're at, you know, 10 feet this way, there he is, he's hiding under the desk. Now, I think what this does is this just shows which node of the network you're connected to, and then from there you're able to, you know, kind of figure out to shut down that node or what have you. But when you read the article, it makes it sound like they can find you. This is a trend. This is a trend we're seeing where they imply they have more security than they really do. This is like, you know, when you used, during the Second World War, there were whole occasions where people would have cardboard cutouts of tanks so that the reconnaissance would look in with their binos and stuff like that, see all these would-be tanks that they couldn't tell were fake tanks, and be like, oh my god, this area is really heavily fortified, and then they'd be able to, like, cut up on their fortifications in order to rearmor a more, you know, like to armor up another location a little bit better. This is, really, we're getting into tactics now. We're getting into software tactics being used by people. I you know, I'm just reporting on it here, but that's what this software seems to be to me. I mean, if you think it's something else, please let me know, because I'd like to try to keep the FUD to a bare minimum on the show, you know what I mean? Now, let's get into some bounty shadow running news. Now, this one was also sent in by Wolf Inspector, just like the first story there. Now, everybody knows, well, if you don't know, that the Sasser internet worm guy, right? He got sentenced the other day. What did he get? He wound up getting a couple of weeks in jail or something like that, or he got suspended sentence, community service, or some crap like that. This 19-year-old kid was busted for the Sasser internet worm, which infected computers around the globe, according to this now. But did you know that there was a payout from Microsoft over this? Listen to this. Microsoft Corporation will pay a combined $250,000 to two people who helped track down the author of the Sasser internet worm, which infected computers around the globe, the world's largest software maker said on Friday. A German court hours earlier gave Sven Jackson, I'm going to call him Sven Jackson just for shits, a suspended sentence of 21 months after he admitted to creating the malicious spyware software program. You made a program that was bad. You go to jail. Jackson, 19, was arrested within a week after Sasser worm first appeared on the internet in May 2004 and infected more than a million computers running Microsoft Windows operating system. The two individuals who ratted him out were not identified, but they will share the reward of $250,000. $1,000 United States, which Microsoft established with Interpol, the FBI, and the U.S. Secret Service. Microsoft, based in Redmond, Washington, has been trying to make its software more secure and reliable and has also vowed to go after hackers and others who create worms and malicious software viruses by offering bounties. And this is a direct quote from the article, by offering bounties and also suing them in court.
Okay.
In January, Jeffrey Lee Parson, 19, was sentenced in U.S. District Court in Seattle to a year and a half in prison for releasing a variant of the blaster worm that was used to attack more than 48,000 computers. So, now what we have now is we have corporations issuing bounties on people for doing, for writing software, is what they're doing. They're saying, no, we don't agree with this piece of software. It's a virus. Now, understandably, computer viruses can be very, very annoying. I will be the first to stand up and say that, having had to fix a lot of people, it does hurt business, yada, 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 yada. But do we want corporations issuing bounties? From the article, I mean, I'm not making that word up, you know, it's right, by offering bounties on the heads of software programmers. I mean, come on here. Isn't that Bill Gates a little jab of the Hutt? I don't know. But it seems to me that that's yet another step in the gradual march towards complete and total core-political shadow-run cyberpunk tyranny. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong there, but that does seem a little bit odd, doesn't it? Huh? Now, in InfoWar news, PigMonkey sent this one in. Federal law enforcement officials fearful. Imagine that. Federal law enforcement officials being fearful that terrorists will exploit emerging in-flight broadband services. Emerging in-flight broadband, so the fact that you're on, be able to be on a plane and be able to be on the internet, to remotely activate bombs or coordinate hijackings, are asking regulators for the power to begin eavesdropping on any passenger's internet use within 10 minutes of obtaining court authorization. Holy crap. So they're like, oh yeah, yeah, all this broadband, yeah, we just to make sure they're not setting off bombs. In joint comments filed with the FCC last Tuesday, the Justice Department, the FBI, and the Department of Homeland Security warned that a terrorist could use onboard internet access to communicate with Confederates on other planes and on the ground and in different sections of the same plane, all from the comfort of their aisle seat. Oh my God, the application is horrible. There is a short window of opportunity in which actions can be taken to thwart a suicidal terrorist hijacking or remedy other crisis situations on board an aircraft. And law enforcement needs to maximize its ability to respond to these potentially lethal situations, the filing reads. Obviously, this is simply to get observance on whoever is taking planes, because people taking planes are important. It costs a lot of money to take a flight. So, you know, if they're there and they get a junction, you know, monitor a flight, they'd be able to get all sorts of corporate information. You could have a guide down in the hold, and they're able to do surveillance. That surveillance, does that just mean they monitor traffic to and from, or does that mean if you got a port open on your computer and you're not so secure, they can go on and check whatever you're sharing, download all your files, read all your files, check to see if you have any illegal music on there, sue you. You know, you see where this is going? The Justice Department hopes to do what an FCC ruling that satellite-based in-flight broadband services are bound by the 1994 Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act, the federal law that required telephone companies to modify their networks to be wiretap friendly for the FBI. Let me read that again. The Justice Department hopes to do that with an FCC ruling that makes satellite-based in-flight broadband services. They want to make it bound by the same 1994 Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act, the federal law that required telephone companies to modify their networks to be wiretap friendly for the FBI. Did you know that in 1994 there was a law passed to make your telephone network friendly for the FBI to just eavesdrop on your conversation? I mean, I'm into this shit and I didn't know that. Kalia was originally passed to preserve the Bureau's ability to eavesdrop. Kalia is the communications and law enforcement, they call it Kalia. Was originally passed to preserve the Bureau's ability to eavesdrop on telephone calls in the digital age. But last year, the FBI and Justice Department persuaded the FCC to interpret the law so it would apply to internet traffic over cable modems and DSL lines. The FCC has already expressed the view that in-flight broadband would likely be covered as well. Of course! Sure it would! Because, you know, there's lots of terrorists walking around with laptops and stuff. You know, that happens all the time. The Justice Department is asking the commission to require that air-to-ground internet taps be equipped forthwith, but no circumstances more than 10 minutes after the FBI, requests them. Interesting. So they're saying that air-to-ground internet taps be equipped forthwith, but in no circumstances more than 10 minutes after the FBI requests them. I'm having problems with this 10 minutes here. What do we got? Use within 10 minutes of obtaining court authorization. But then at the end of the article, it says be equipped forthwith, but in no circumstances more than 10 minutes after the FBI requests them. So that means that the minute they get the clearance, they get it for 10 minutes, or they get clearance for 10 minutes, or what the hell? I mean, I can't see them only giving them access for 10 minutes. That doesn't even make any sense. So I guess they got a 10-minute, sort of window there where they're going to, after they get clearance, it takes 10 minutes to get the clearance, they got 10 minutes to do it or whatever.
I suppose
that if you just turned on your laptop and were only on the plane for 10 minutes, or you only use it at 10-minute intervals or something like that, I mean, maybe, well, you probably got 10 minutes of unsupervised time because it looks like there's a 10-minute window there, if that window is applied, or that could just be FUD, so that they'd be suspicious of anyone who was online for 8 minutes, and then they'd be looking at you and yada, 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 because you weren't online for 10 minutes. That's one possibility there. But I think this is just a massive, it's for security. No, it's not. It's yet another law passed to assist with government surveillance of everyday people. Now, in gamer news, this was sent in from Healthy Fire. A media watchdog. Now, this is a great story. You ready for this one here? This will make you laugh. A media watchdog group. Media watchdog group. You know, I love how they call these media watchdog groups. They're right-wing radical Christian organizations that they call media watchdogs. And why do I know they're right-wing Christian organizations? Because nobody else gives a fuck. A media watchdog group denounced the maker of the hugely popular video game Grand Theft Auto San Andreas on Friday after learning that graphic sex scenes can appear in the game with the help of a freely available internet download. Oh my god! The game's plot was already objectionable to many. What? No, it wasn't. Fuck you. It's a video game. Its main characters seek bloody vengeance on gang-filled streets, firing automatic weapons and picking up women along the way. Yeah. After downloading and installing a modification to the game, one of many quote-unquote mods available on websites maintained by video game enthusiasts, a new world opens in which the girlfriends appear nude and engage in explicit sex acts, according to the mod's author. The new content fills in what publisher Rockstar Games left to the imagination of the rated M mature version sold in stores. Sexual content of this kind generally earns video games an AO, adults only rating, which very few retailers are willing to sell. Bullshit! They will sell whatever they can because they have no morals. Rockstar spokesman Rodney Walker refused to say whether or not the New York-based publisher created the sex scenes. The controversy has prompted an investigation by the Entertainment Software Ratings Board, which determines the rating on every video game sold. Excuse me, he sold the video game. Somebody has to choose to download a mod and modify their game on a computer. The mod's author, Patrick Wildenborg of Devonshire, Netherlands, told where they're a lot more relaxed about sex, I might add, told the Associated Press Friday that his code merely unlocks the content that is already included in the code of each off-the-shelf game, the latest edition of the top-selling Grand Theft Auto series. And this is what the guy says, he wrote the mod. If Rockstar Games denies that, then they're lying, and I will be able to prove that, said Wildenborg, who's 36, wrote in an email. My mod does not introduce anything to the game. All the content that is showed was already present on the DVD. A nationwide parental alert! Fuck, I love this. A nation was a code red, blue. Klaxons are going, boobies. Was issued Friday by the National Institute of the Media and the Family. That's the name of their organization. The National Institute on the Media and the Family, NIMF. A Minneapolis-based group that monitors the entertainment industry. Now, it's a fucking video game. There is a lot of data that says that violent video games, they do have an effect on the mind. Now, if you choose not to accept that and realize that, that's fine, okay? But a big thing to me is truth, okay? I'm not going to sit here and claim that video games don't affect you because, it's unfortunate for us and it's an ammo for, the core political to say, you see, it's bad, so therefore we must ban video games. No, we mustn't ban video games for that because there is more violence on television than you will ever get on video games. Go to the fucking video store, okay? Go to the video store, download whatever you want. Go to the video store and download. Go in there, acquire yourself Tears of the Sun, acquire yourself Jaws, acquire yourself RoboCop, for fuck's sakes. RoboCop! RoboCop and RoboCop 2. You want some violence? There you go. Have a look at those. Let's see, other Heat, you know, major blockbuster films. Huge amounts of violence going on in these films. And yet, they're upset about the video games because the video games enable choice. You see, they enable choice. And this is the problem. There is a problem with media violence, yes. But they're targeting video games the same way they targeted role-playing games back in the 80s. You see how this works. Now, unfortunately, it's not like you can buy this off the shelf, you know, and you got, you know, chicks giving blowjobs in the middle of this badly graphic game. You know, I mean, it's not reality. It looks like a cartoon. I don't care how cool it is. It still is identifiable as a video game. It is still a cartoon, okay? So when you have that and you're looking at, yeah, okay, it's a little bit violent. But further to that, it's not like you buy it off the shelf and people are giving each other blowjobs. You have to apply a mod that you have to know about, A. You have to download it, B. You have to correctly install it, C. So it seems that you're not going to get an 8-year-old doing that. And if the 8-year-old has the technical skill to do that, wow, your 8-year-old has a lot of technical skill. But, I mean, honestly, shouldn't you be having communication with your children anyway? Or is this just another way for parents, instead of talking straight to their kids about what they're doing? I mean, if your kid's got, you know, razor blades all over his walls, you know, and he's got, like, you know, the man-sized hostage target that he's shooting every day, well, you know, and he's trying to hit the hostage, you know, maybe you might want to talk to the kid about what's going on in his life. You know, maybe rather than just, you know, trying to sweep it under the rug and beating the kid or medicating the kid out of the floor, you want to find out why the fuck he's so angry. Like, what is this kid mad about? You know what I mean? And if, you know, he wants to watch boobies give each, you know, I mean, whatever, man. Kids do that. Back in the day before the internet, we were all wandering around looking under overpasses for the porno mag stash. Anybody remember doing that? You know what I mean? I mean, if there's a certain part of that that cannot be avoided. And I respect and understand that, yes, there is a lot of violence in the media. You fucking rights there is. You know? But the thing is, you can't just sit there and decide, oh, no, we'll ban it, pretend it doesn't exist. You can't do that either. You have to actually communicate with your children and find out what's going on. The parental skill set is completely toast. The other thing that I really love is if you want to actually communicate with your children, for all you parents, you know, if there's someone who's like got a 14-year-old child or something like that who's listening to this program right now and thinking, oh my God, I can't believe that this guy is so peer-influenced. Look how peer-influenced he is. He should be getting all of his authority from me. I'm his parent, after all. If it wasn't for me, he'd be starving in the street. Okay, first of all, parents need to readjust their whole focus a little bit and realize that it's your responsibility to look after your child. If you're not looking after your kid, somebody else will. And the people who will look after your children are who? The core political. You better believe it. So they will take your child, try to get as much mind share as they can of your child so they can farm him as a consumer for the rest of their natural life. Now, these video games and these violent movies and violent music and all the rest of it are there because your child is angry. They're angry with their situation. They're angry with the world. They're angry with the war in Iraq. They're angry with the amount of workload they have to do in school. And when you think about what kids learned today in high school versus what kids learned in the 1980s in high school, they're doing shit in the 8th and 7th grade that I was doing in grade 12 back in the day. Now, we haven't evolved that much. Our brains can only take so much. And this is why in Japan, where you have these kids, you have massive suicide, we've got depression, we've got all these problems with our young people because we're trying to force too much shit into their head too fast. You need to give kids a break, and it's going to start to manifest in very fucking weird ways. It's going to come out in these video games. It's going to come out in weird stories and comic books and shit like that. So you can either punish the child and take away his outlet, or you can try to understand the child, and instead of treating the symptoms, treat the fucking cause. Like, come on now. Talk to your children. Okay? It's your job. You're a parent, all right? Spend some time there, all right? At least 2-3 hours a day, every day with your child. I don't give a fuck if it cramps your lifestyle. Too bad. Okay? If you didn't want to have children and be involved as a parent, then you should not have had children. If you have a child now, you have a responsibility, so either buck the fuck up or shut the fuck up. Those are your two choices. Cowboy up, Mom. In Lost Freedom News by Visage, a judge in Maryland is threatening jail time for county planners if they do not approve a 254 townhouse project in a badly congested region, despite a shortage of water and a petition signed by 600 residents. So the judge is like, fuck that, we're building here. What is the point of having commissioners if the county is going to be run by lawyers and judges? Carroll County Commissioner Dean Minnick told the Baltimore Sun. All the decisions at the level of the court seem to be pro-development. Ah, core politicals using the lawyers. Now, this is a great story because it shows where people are starting to rebel against the courts and the lawyers. According to the paper, the Planning Commission rejected the Eldersburg project last year, citing inadequate facilities on South Carroll, whose population has nearly tripled since 1980. So it's growing too fast. They don't have enough water. According to the paper, the Planning Commission rejected the Eldersburg project last year. So they went back to court. But the circuit judge, Michael M. Galloway, agreed with the developers, of course, that a previous ruling from the 6 years ago was still valid. And on June 30th, he ordered the commissioners to okay the site plan for the rental complex in the county's most populous and fast-growing area. Benjamin Rosberg, attorney for the developers at the Carrolltown Development Partnership, said he demanded jail time for members of the Planning Commission, including County Commission President Julia Walsh Gouge, if officials did not comply with the judge's decision. You will build here or we will throw you in fucking jail. Local roads are reportedly congested. Schools are surrounded by portable classrooms. And the water supply is so stretched, officials have cut back on the development until new sources of H2O can be found. They will find water for this project, Rosberg told the Sun. Yeah, where are they going to find it, shit bomb? They'll find it. It will fall out of the fucking sky. The county should have reserved water for this project. The county should have reserved water for this project in 1995. If need be, it will have to take water allocated to another project. See, they're mad for the cash. This is all about land development. This is about people trying to make money, and they don't give a shit. The ruling has prompted an outcry for some of the local residents. One posted reaction on an online message board decrying the judge's ruling said, quote, "The citizens of Carroll County be damned. A developer wants to make some bucks? It's simple. Go to court and have the judges become the final word on what is best for the county. Judges are becoming too powerful in this country. Their ilk are strictly out of touch with what is good and right for society. Period. In this case, they overstepped their authority and are attempting to become legislators. For the sake of their citizens, I hope the board will unanimously ignore the judges. There is no one the judges can go to enforce their ruling. All the bench warrants in the world are not going to have the board arrested. No one will lift a finger to jail the board." Now, we're at a point here. Now, that's some pretty heavy, tough talk coming up from the United States there. You know what I mean? Like, you look at that and you go, holy crap. But we realize now that we've come to accept what the courts say as the final word. It's like, oh, yeah, that's the rules, right? That's what the courts do. That's what the courts say. So, of course, that's got to be how it goes. Not so. Not so. As we can see, now everyday people just trying to live and breathe and get, you know, things like water are having a huge problem, okay? And they want to keep cramming us in there, keep building the rabbit warrens, keep building up all the areas so that eventually we're all, you know, going to be buying bottled water. They'll find the water. Fuck yeah, we'll sell them the water. More money for the court political greed factory. That, for case in point and purpose, is in fact evil, just so you know. Now, I got some information for you here that you're not going to get on any other news service, let me tell you. I got some booster review news here. Said about Monafinil, and Ghostless sent this in. I got this from a few different sources. Now, the first thing I want to point out here is the link when you go to this is from Gizmag, which is a gizmo magazine. It's a magazine that sells tech, okay? It sells, like, gadgets and kit and shit like that, hence Gizmag. Yet what we have is we have them selling a drug, okay, in a gizmo magazine. What the fuck does that mean? Okay, let's get through the article. Forget TiVo on time shifting. Today's there's Modafinil. How scary is this? Wasn't cocaine considered a good thing back in the day? The wonders of pharmacology keep appearing regularly, each new drug seemingly too good to be true. In recent times, there have been several killer apps for the drug industry. Chemical substances that replace depression with happy disposition or bolster a flagging sex drive to a Royal Command performance with encore levels. Prozac and Viagra provided benefits to so compelling they have entered everyday language and have a global following. Side note,
Prozac and Viagra are also two of the most heavily advertised pharma-fascist drugs ever used. I don't believe they're really all that useful. Furthermore, there's also massive side effects. Viagra causes you to go blind, and Prozac seems to make you want to kill yourself. These are problems. They also provide massive levels of, because you're fucking with your brain chemistry, okay? Now back to the article. Now, there's another drug most likely to succeed. This one enables you to stay awake for 40-plus hours with close to full mental capacity with few side effects. Modafinil improves memory and enhances one's mood, alertness, and cognitive powers. The drug has a smoother feel. I love the way this is worded. The drug has a smoother feel than amphetamines and enables the user to stay awake and alert for 40 hours or more. Once the drug wears off, you just have to catch up on some sleep. This drug was used by the SAS during the Balkans. Marketed as Provigil, Alitec, and Vigisir. Now, I didn't know that there was three different names for it. I just knew about Provigil. But apparently there's one called Alitec and Vigisir. Modafinil is a psychostimulant approved by the U.S. federal drug, by the FDA, big fucking deal, for improving wakefulness in patients with excessive sleepiness associated with shift work or sleep disorder, objective sleep apnea, hypnoia, sleep syndrome, and narcolepsy. Okay, now, it used to be just for narcolepsy, but now it's been approved for people with excessive sleepiness. So if you're tired because you work shift work, okay, and you have, hyponia syndrome with narcolepsy and blah, 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 blah. But excessive sleepiness associated with shift work, drugging people because they don't have regular hours is not good. Back to the article. Not surprisingly, a drug that enables people to stay awake for 40-hour periods at close to full mental capacity with no real side effects could quickly gain widespread usage as a time-shifting drug. Got a project to do, particularly when it's devoid of the jitterness associated with most drugs commonly used in such circumstances, such as dextromethamphetamine, or whatever the fuck it's called, cocaine, and the world's most popular drug, caffeine. Now, this article here, I happen to have gotten my hands on some modafinil, I'll have you know, and I happen to give that stuff a bit of a crank, all right? Swallowed some back one day after I'd been awake for a very long time and thought I'd give it a good solid go. So yours truly, and I didn't get some shit bought off the internet, I got good pharmaceutical grade stuff, okay? I found it, all right? I didn't get it, so that's how it works. I don't have any more, don't ask. But honest to God, I had some, I acquired some through various means, and I was able to get my hands on some really good high grade. And the stuff I talk, I think I did actually take Provigil was the stuff I took. I'm not too sure the brand name, but it was most definitely pharmaceutical grade. What happened? It wasn't any weird, Mexican pharmacy bought stuff. Now, I bought it because I've been awake for 2 days, and I took it at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Half an hour later, I felt mildly awake, and I stayed sort of mildly awake for the rest of the day. Just removed the symptoms of tiredness as what it did. Now, the problem here is that we don't know why we sleep, okay? No one can really tell you why it is that you sleep, all right? Now, although I look at this modafinil and I think, wow, that's really cool. I'd be able to, we're only as good as our drugs and technology make us, right? Well, yes. But how long are you in the game for here, okay? Are you in the game for one quarter? Or are you here for a four-quarter game, all right? You got to think, well, what are you talking about, Sean? Well, listen up. The stuff you do to your body today is going to come back and haunt you in 20 years. If you start boosting yourself with all this modafinil and shit like that, fucking with your brain chemistry, that's going to fuck with your brain chemistry. And then when you get older, because you took these other drugs, it could manifest in very weird ways. Suddenly your memory starts to go. Maybe all of a sudden you start having episodes. And let me tell you, having a psychotic break is not fun. All right? You don't know what's going on. You don't know what's happening. You feel like you're totally out of control. You feel helpless. And unless you've experienced any kind of psychological imbalancing, you can't understand how truly frightening it is. And everyone is susceptible. Now, you do what you want. Okay, but being a guy who has taken this stuff, I say stay the fuck away from it. And my reasoning for that is there is not enough testing. I'm not afraid of the drugs that are obviously get you high. Okay, stuff like, well, I'm afraid of coke and stuff like that. Yeah, you bet. I would never ever do anything that wasn't completely natural. Okay, just for starters, if you wanted to smoke weed every now and again, that's got a few thousand years of testing behind it to know that it won't totally kill you. Worst case scenario, it makes you fat, maybe makes you forget a few things. Okay, but when you're looking at drugs like this that are brand fucking new, they've tested it on the military, they have no idea what, and habit forming, fuck yeah, it's habit forming, or as I'd like to say, addictive. Yes, it is addictive. Absolutely, it's addictive, because if you don't take it, your withdrawal symptoms are that you get tired all of a sudden, and we don't like being tired. I'm not able to maintain my job that I got because I was taking modafinil, so it becomes a work requirement that I take drugs, and before you know it, I'm 35, my kidney's failing, everything's fucked, dead by 42. Thanks for coming out. Versus the guy who altered his diet, who made sure he drank a lot of water, and took natural and harder methods. Okay, it's much more difficult not to do it naturally. It's very difficult to make sure you get enough sleep, you're drinking enough water, and you know, you're trying maybe some ancient herbs and things like that. It's much more difficult to do that, but it's better for you. The name of the game here is to last. The best way to beat your enemies is to outlive them. If you don't think you'll get promoted at work, I promise you, everybody else at work who's taking all these drugs, when they start having psychotic breaks at work, they will be fired and you will move up the corporate chain that way. Stay away from these kinds of drugs. They are dangerous and we don't know what they do. Okay? You got a guy in a robe outside your mind knocking to get in saying, hey, I can keep you awake. And this whole thing is just a little bit scary for me. So from a guy who's taking it, and a dude, you know, who really doesn't have anything to lose by recommending or not recommending this. Okay, guys, stay the fuck away from Provigil, from Alitech, and from Vigiserp. All the trade names of modafinil. I don't trust it. Stay away from it. Now, into sentience news from Phoenix. Now, this is a fucking cool story because I've seen this parent before. But this is a really, really, really interesting topic. A parrot has grasped the concept of zero. It's an African gray parrot. Something humans can't do until at least the toddler phase, researchers say. Alex, the 28-year-old African gray parrot who lives in a lab at Brandeis University in Massachusetts, has the brain the size of a walnut, which is a big brain. When confronted with no items on a tray where usually there are some, he says, none. Zero is thought to be a rather abstract concept even for people. Children typically don't grasp it until age 3 or 4. Brandeis researchers say some ancient cultures lacked a formal term for zilch, even as recently as the Middle Ages. Alex is a fairly skilled counter. In a test, he said none when the items on his tray were cleared. More trials were done, and the avian Einstein constantly demonstrated the ability to identify zero quantity by saying the label none, the study concluded. Alex null may be slightly different than your nada. Alex's zero-like concept is not identical to ours, but he repeatedly showed us that he understands the absence of quantity, said Irene Pepperberg, who led the research. The result, published in the current issue of the Journal of Comparative Psychology, adds the growing evidence that birds and other animals are smarter than we thought. And everyone who's a pet owner will obviously then slaps their forehead and says, no duh, we've been telling you that shit for years. A 2003 study in the Nature Journal, for example, found that common marsh birds, these are just wild animals called coots, can recognize and count their own eggs even when other eggs are in the nest. Black-capped chickadees were recently found to warn colleagues of dangers by chirping about the size and actual threat of individual predators, so the black-capped chickadee recon, and the language of prairie dogs have an actual language as a word for humans, if you can believe that. Now, when you see this evidence here, you're like, big deal. Well, wait now. It's time to make a call. Now, you got to bear in mind that Coco the gorilla there's a few things that Coco did that I just love Coco the gorilla. Why? Because it completely rapes Mud Hut religions, like to the ground. According to the Bible, it says that man is the only one with a soul, and we were given dominion over the entire world. I don't want a bunch of biblical scripture sent to me, so fuck off with the Bible stuff, okay? But there comes a point when you have to make a call. Do we respect sentient life? Okay, do we respect sentient life? If not, if we respect sentient life, then we should make choices in our individual life to reflect that. You know what I'm saying? If you decide that you respect sentient life, you should only eat organic food, because that way it gets rid of factory farming. I'm not saying go straight vegetarian. Maybe you like eating meat. Maybe you're into the Dominator thing. That's cool. Okay, whatever. I don't know if that's right or wrong. I haven't made a call on that level myself. I'd like to be vegetarian, but science is telling me different things, and I'm not through all my research yet. You look at the blood type, Eat Right for Your Type books, and the blood type books and all that sort of stuff. It gives you a lot of interesting data. The human mind has expanded a lot since we started eating meat. There's a lot of benefits to eating meat that, you know, aren't achieved other ways. And there's going to be a lot of vegans and PETA people who have a lot of research, and there's a lot of research going the other direction. Some of it is core political, and a lot of the vegan media has also got an agenda. So you have to be very careful here and go with what your own body says. That makes me a bad person to tell you to listen to your own body, then so be it. But if you respect life, like Coco, she had emotions. They gave her a kitten, took the kitten away, and Coco goes, I miss the kitten. I love the kitten. It was very nice. A bang, boom, there it is. Wham. We've got a gorilla who's exhibiting love. We have emotion. We have cognitive. We have sentience. Not so good. Now, if you respect life, then, you know, you need to make a call whether or not you're going to, you know, actually try to save some of the rainforest, try to save some of these animals, or do we just say, fuck all life on the planet, we're it, and we don't care if we kill anyone or anything, if we just wind up living on this burned-out world inside of our spacesuits until finally the technology is too much, and there's not enough rich people left, and the money doesn't mean anything anymore, and we all just die out because we destroyed ourselves. That's option A. Or B, you know, if you decide not to respect the life on the planet, you know, why are we bothering with robotics? You know, really. I mean, if you can get a parrot to count, okay, why are we fucking around with computers whatsoever? Why don't we just start wet wiring animals? Why don't we take pit bulls and boar bulls and all these dogs and just cut them open? You know, if we don't give a fuck about life on the planet, then why do we even walk around with a masquerade against cruelty to animals? Why even bother? Why don't we just open up these dogs, wet wire their brains like we did to that rat, you know, have it so that they're sentient, we can have them like rat things, you know, and we'll have them, you know, in constant agony, and these half mutated wired up animals will be running down, you know, prisoners and shit like that. We could you know, wet wire birds. We could enslave all these animals through our drugs and technology to be our slaves. That's one option. Or option B, we can try to respect life and cohabitate in some sort of method of peace. Which, incidentally, it's interesting how third world cultures, like in India and stuff like that, if people go crazy, like what they call schizophrenic and stuff like that, it seems that they heal over there versus here where they don't heal. So our culture, Western culture, seems to be driving people insane when people need to go to the East in order to heal themselves, and then they come back and they get driven insane again by the meat pits we've established in this country. Rather bizarre, but you cannot deny that animals have sentience. Now, in book death news, here's a scary story from Ozimo. This is very after now. A high school in Vail will become the state's first all-wireless, all-laptop public school this fall. The 350 students at the school will not have traditional textbooks, period. Instead, they will use electronic and online articles as part of a more traditional teacher lesson plans. As part of more traditional teacher lesson plans. That's not traditional. Vail Unified School District's decision to go with an all-electric school is rare, experts say. Often, cost, insecurity, ignorance, and institutional constraints prevent schools from making the leap away from paper. The efforts are very sporadic, says Mark Schneiderman, Director of Education Policy for the Software Information Industry Association. A minority of communities are doing a good or very good job, but a large number are just not there on the number levels. Now, the thing is that once you go to electronic format, how easy is it to censor electronic documents? How easy is it to, you know, get everything so that, you know, you can just change history, get rid of Anne Frank, change the rules of how World War II was fought, make World War II just about the Holocaust, right? Everything we're going to hear about World War II, what do you know about World War II? Right now, what do you know about World War II? The Holocaust, right? Horrible event. 6 million Jews died, blah, 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 blah. Or some amount of Jews died. There's some stipulation about how many, what the exact number is. But the accepted number by society is 6 million Jews. Okay, so a bunch of Jews died in World War II. What else do you know about the Second World War other than 6 million Jews died? What else do you know? Do you know anything? How about the 20 million Chinese that died? You know, the 16 million Russians that died, the gypsies that died? Do you know anything else about the Second World War except for the Holocaust? Just a question. What do you know about it? Did you know that Winston Churchill wrote a 4-volume memoir about all the events that happened in the Second World War, and he didn't even mention the Holocaust? Now, what that tells me is that there was a lot of shit that happened in the Second World War that we're not taught about. All we're taught about, which is valuable, without a doubt. I mean, to learn about, you know, the horror of the Nazis and the camps and setting up the camps, even though we don't seem to be learning from that, because we're setting up camps in our own nations and we're allowing ourselves to be tattooed in the same ways by allowing people to get themselves chipped and so on and so forth. We're not really learning from that. We say never again, but we're not really, you know, they're not going to actually roll out a Nazi flag for you to identify them themselves as the enemies, guys. You need to, you know, kind of think a little bit outside the box here. But quite obviously, when you look at something like this, a set of textbooks, if you buy it for e-format, goes to $500 to $600, right? Well, when you look at that, you go, okay, but a set of textbooks, a set of textbooks runs about $500 to $600, but it's not clear how the change in laptops will work, he conceded. So he doesn't know how long the set of textbooks, or how much a set of textbooks is going to cost for computers, which there is no actual cost on the textbooks. It's just software. So, you know, schools could get all the information they want. Because after all, is it about profit or is it about turning out the smartest student possible? See, these are the problems here. We need to totally redo how our school system is done, because we're creating children that are going insane. And we're going to, if you want to know how our school system is going to wind up, look at Japan. Look at the countries that are more advanced than us with their education system and see what kind of state their children are in. Okay, we need to radically redefine our educational system. People are not learning the truth. They're learning what they're being taught. They're learning what the core political agenda is. That's why you've got Pepsi tags and everything else. Also in book death news, now this was from Pig Monkey. The last story was sent in by Ozimo, but Pig Monkey, this scared me. There's another book death story here. The California Assembly is betting that kids learn more with smaller books, whatever the fuck that means. Lawmakers voted Thursday to ban school districts from purchasing textbooks longer than 200 pages. My fucking novel, okay, Scab Wings Out On, that's longer than 200 pages. That's 235 pages on 8x10 text, okay? The bill, believed to be the first of its kind nationwide, was hailed by supporters as a way to revolutionize education. Critics lambasted Assembly Bill 756 as silly. Silly wouldn't be the adjective I'd use. I'd call it scary. This bill is an epitome of micromanagement. No, it's an epitome of censorship and of history manipulation, says Assemblyman Keith Reichman of Northridge. It is absolutely ridiculous. With all due respect, said Assemblyman R. Hayes and Murita, this legislature worries more about the rules than they do whether children learn. But Assemblywoman Jackie Goldberg, a Los Angeles Democrat who chairs the Assembly Education Committee, said critics are thinking too narrowly. No! You do not restrict or condense information for children. What you should be doing is having them, instead of saying, no, I'm not against the laptops. Okay, I'm not against the laptops. That's fine. Have a big, fat library of information that has not been digitized yet, because there are massive fucking volumes of data that are not online. The internet is fantastic. It is a wonderful tool for sharing information. I love it. It is the greatest thing since the ability to record music. However, there is not enough data online for everyone to know the total history. The only thing that exists on the internet is what is put on the internet. And there's a lot of work being done to put things on the internet. Yes, it is true, but there are still many books that are not there. So, restricting the size of textbooks sounds like ignorance to me. Now, in treason news sent in by McCavity, for the better part of 2 years, the word coming out of the Bush White House was that presidential advisor Karl Rove had nothing to do with the leak of female CIA officers' identity, and whatever did it would be fired. But Bush spokesman Scott McLean said he wouldn't repeat those claims Monday in the face of Rove's own lawyer. Robert Luskin acknowledged the political operative spoke to Matthew Cooper of Time magazine, one of the reporters who disclosed Valerie Plame's name. So that's just another example of treason showing that the Bush administration, if you speak out against us, we're going to attack you on a very personal level. Also, involuntary chipping news. Are you ready for this one here? This is a great one. This is out of Japan. Little tiny script. In Tokyo, subscribers to the KDDI Corp's AU Mobile phone service will be able to pay train fares with their handsets at East Japanese Railway Company stations starting next January. The two companies said Monday. Now, this is how people are going to start paying for things with their cell phones, right? Your very own bugging device. I love how we've just, you know, allowed the cell phone to become the monitoring chip of our age. And now we're going to start doing all our banking with it. Our wallets will become our cell phones. Our cell phones will become our emergency. As long as you got your cell phone, you're okay. JR East will allow Susia electronic train fare card functions to be installed on the internet capable mobile phone handsets for use with the KDDI's Easy FeliCard service to be launched in September in a combination with Sony Corp's Felicia contactless integrated circuit card technology. That's from Kyoto News. Now, when you look at that, you go, oh, I get it. I see what's going on here. Okay. Now, that goes in with this next story, my final story of the day, which is the wearable plot. France Telecom's wireless unit, Orange SA, will soon roll out a new mobile video service that will let cellular phone subscribers view TV, movies, and photos with and a broadband internet content with a big screen viewing effect using video eyewear from Micro Optical. Micro Optical's video eyewear contains two Kopin full-color QVVA. Okay, what it is, it's this is a wearable. It is a visor that goes up, pops over your eyes, and now you have a wearable. That is what this is. Now, the wearable plot, we've been wondering where the fuck the wearables were. IBM had the wearable computer ad a few years ago. Everyone remembers a guy yelling on a park bench in Russia. You remember that one? And then the wearable computer just fell off, and nobody talked about it. Well, now, rather than selling wearable computers, what are they doing? They're turning phones into wearable computers so they can meter your internet connection. Eventually, they're running this out in Paris, right? And then what's going to happen is all the phones will turn into wearable computers. It'll be so chic. Everyone will have their little visors and all look like they're made by Oakley. And it'll look very, very cool. Everyone will get their email, surf, get information from their totally monitored, completely location-specific, metered, time, space, bandwidth-registered mobile phone. This is an absolute nightmare. This is how they are going to manipulate the mobile phone and the wearable market. They're going to take away our PCs, get away from the concept of the wearable PC, and go with the wearable phone PC. I give you that you, as an individual, as a WOG, should not get into these phones. For all intents and purposes, we should be buying up all the old phones that don't have any chips in there and start looking into PC 104 boards, building our own wearable computers, building stuff that we control that cannot be tracked that gives us free Wi-Fi. So if we can set up our own relay stations, set up our own networks, set it up so that we don't get metered for internet access, think about the freedom that we would have. But unfortunately, this is the plan. They want to run it all out with the phones. Have them build their little wearables so they can meter every single second that you're online. Because what's the point of having a wearable if you're not online, right? Well, go look at the picture. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me my plot's off. I think that it's quite obvious what they're intending to do. That is, in fact, the wearable plot. And to me, it's fucking evil. Today's Daily Hack, sent in by Noble Freak. Some recommended media. Edward Herman and Noam Chomsky demolish one of the central tenets of our political culture, the idea of liberal media. Instead, utilizing a systemic model based on massive empirical research, they reveal the manner in which news media are so subordinated to the corporate and conservative interests that their function can only be described of that as elite propaganda. And as well, I got a PDF out there for all you dog owners. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to get you all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of Forley, WebLife, Alan, Drew Dry, Simaru, Drake, WebLife, Jesse, Robert, Grey Ghost, Art, Michael, End User, Christopher, New, Kevin, Joseph, Jesse, Derek, Desert Runner, Eric, Michael, Dennis, C4, Steve, Jesse, Brandon, Matthew, Peter, Malcolm, Timor, Rosalie, Keith, Jason, Evan, Matt, Austin, David, Palmer, Jonathan, Adam, Richard, Host Mojo, Peter, Charles, Jason, Jonathan, Brandon, Mainframe, Burger No Fries, Innominate, Matt, Jennifer, Matthew, Charles, Lars Eric, Dark Nature, Brandon, and Michael. New subscribers for June 2005, Alex, Jerry, Cameron, and Brenley. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca. And thanks again to everyone for the... after going to rantmedia.ca, click on the donate tab. And then while you're there, if you're into it and you want to buy my book, you can. And thanks again to everyone in their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Fictional called Fictitious. I'm going to leave you now, at least I'm going to try to leave you now, with a track... to use as an alarm. I use this as a wake-up alarm. So, you know, in the morning and an MP3 kicks on, this is a perfect track to use for that. It's a song called Naked by Mal Havoc. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.